And now the game where we ask experts about something else entirely. Stefan Fatsis is a 45-year-old sports writer. He contributes to the Wall Street Journal and, of course, NPR's All Things Considered. Now, like all of us in public radio, physically, let's say, Stefan's not going to be posing for the cover of Muscle and Fitness anytime soon. Nonetheless, a couple of years ago, he actually joined the Denver Broncos. That would be an actual NFL football team. As a place kicker, and he writes about this remarkable adventure in his new book, A Few Seconds of Panic. Stefan, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It is good to be here, Peter.
It's great to have you. Now, other than fulfilling every boy's fantasy of being a football player, what actually inspired you to pursue this this project?
A naked admiration for George Plimpton and a belief that 40-plus years later, someone should try to do what Plimpton did in the early 1960s, which was play for an NFL team and find out what life was actually like inside the NFL.
But as you point out in your book, when Plimpton did that in the early 60s to write Paper Lion, those old days, and players got paid nothing, there was hardly any money in it, you could just walk on, nobody cared. These days, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, right?
Absolutely, and that was part of the motivation, too. You know, I feel, and Roy may agree with this, is that, you know, for all that we hear and read about in newspapers, magazines, and on television and the internet, I think we have a pretty thin understanding of what actually goes on inside professional sports leagues, and particularly in the NFL. Mm. And Roy, of course, can speak to this experience because he wrote an amazing book about the Pittsburgh Steelers in the mid-1970s.
Oh, thank you, but it's a lot harder now to get at the players.
Yeah, because they're completely insulated from the media, and they've been conditioned for years to answer questions in sort of sound bites and bromides and banalities.
Yeah.
And trying to penetrate that wall was one of the challenges that I faced and was really the main challenge, because what I wanted to do was understand what these guys go through and what it takes to run one of these giant businesses.
So what was the deal? You went to the NFL teams that you knew about and you connected to through your work as a sports writer. And what was, you said, I want to come be a kicker for your team.
Yes.
And they said, what?
No, 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 and I can keep going. Mm. It was about 20 teams before I got a yes from the Denver Broncos.
So you weren't actually asking the teams to, like, let you play for them in a game. And that wasn't, I mean, you weren't actually trying out for the team, were you?
I would have loved to have played in a game had the NFL let me, and the Broncos were willing to. I'd never played football in my life. I'd been a soccer player, so I had some ability to kick a ball. I was kicking 35 and 40-yard field goals during my summer in Denver, which are chip shots for any NFL kicker, any college kicker, any good high school kicker. But for someone who'd never done it before, I was damn proud of myself when the ball went through the upright from 40 yards away.
So I've got a whole bunch of questions for you. The first question was, when these guys found out who you were and what you were doing there, why didn't they simply snap you across their knees and throw you away?
What they made me do immediately was sing my college fight song, I Swear to God.
Oh, just like in Paper Lion. Had they read the book?
I think they'd been around a while. At least they were familiar with the cliche, what you were supposed to do. So I kind of whispered it in front of my locker, in front of seven offensive linemen, each one bigger than the last.
Hey, Stefan?
Yeah?
So you say you had a locker. Like, did you remain outside the locker, or did they stuff you into it?
Believe me, when I had to kick in front of the team and I missed some field goals, they threatened to do worse than stuff me inside the locker.
But at any point, were you offered steroids, like, you know, behind the field, you know, underneath the bleachers?
I could have used them.
Nobody would have begrudged you a steroid or two, I'm sure. This is my favorite thing about kickers. When the receiver gets through the line, the special teams line, the kicker is often the last guy between the person running the ball back and the goal, and the kicker has to go tackle somebody. I love it when that happens. Did you ever like practice that?
Fortunately, I did not have to experience that. I mean, the reality was, if these guys wanted to, they could have killed me at any moment.
I got one last question. Have you been so lording it over your, like, your colleagues and friends and, like, the Washington media? Have you been like, well, you know, back in the NFL, the way that we would handle this problem is we'd simply drive up the middle and not take no for an answer, and people just get tired of it?
I'll be doing that for the rest of my life.
I bet you will.
Has your Ben Gay budget gone through the roof?
You know, when I would tape my body up, and I had to sort of halfway through camp, I had a strained groin and a strained hip flexor and a strained everything else below my waist. And I would sort of apply all kinds of Bengay equivalents and wrap my legs in ace bandages. And the other players would look at me and they would laugh.
And you were like, does my verbal SAT score count for nothing in this world? Actually, no, it doesn't. Well, Stefan Fatsis, we're so thrilled to have you back with us. We have invited you here this time to play a game that we're calling...
You're the Last Living Stalinist Tyrant, we think.
Excellent.
This week came reports that Kim Jong-il, dear leader of North Korea, might be gravely ill. Or he might be not. Or maybe he's been dead for 6 years, as one scholar has suggested. And the whole regime is an elaborate real-life version of Weekend at Bernie's. Who knows? We thought we would review the remarkable career of the world's last true evil dictator, answer two questions correctly about the life and times of King Jong-il. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Stefan Fatsis playing for?
Stefan is playing for David Andrews of Amesbury, Massachusetts.
All right. Here's your first question, Stefan.
I'm ready.
Kim Jong-il was born in a camp in Soviet Siberia, but that's not what his official biography says. No. According to the North Korean official news agency, from whence sprang the dear leader? A, he was born in a laboratory, the first and only successful human clone, in his case, of his father, the beloved leader, Kim Il-sung. B, he was born on top of the highest mountain in North Korea, and his birth was marked by a double rainbow and a new star in the heavens. Or C, he was born of a virgin in a manger on a farm outside Pyongyang.
I'm going to go with B, mountaintop.
The mountaintop. You're right, sir. The official and completely untrue story is that he was born in a secret camp on North Korea's highest mountain, and the heavens themselves welcomed his arrival.
Ah.
What do you do when your insane dictator loses his mind?
Maybe he becomes sane.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
He wakes up. All right, that's good. That was the 15-yarder. Now we're moving back a little harder this time. Next question. Dear leader's achievements in politics and art have been widely trumpeted by the North Korean government, but he can do even more. For example, according to official sources, Kim Jong-il also has what skill? A, he is a superb clothing designer, having himself created the uniforms of the massive North Korean military. B, he is a gourmet chef, often making the dishes served to foreign leaders that visit him. Or C, he is a scratch golfer, often getting several holes in one in a single round.
Well, that happens when the sky parts and
everything. Yeah, I know.
That was his first, was it right after he was born? He hit it off the mountaintop.
Exactly.
Out onto the green below. I'm going to go with chef.
You're going to go with chef, that he's a brilliant gourmet chef. No, he's a scratch golfer, according to the North Korean agency. They say that the very first time he played golf on the nation's only golf course outside Pyongyang, he scored 38 under par.
Wow.
Did he get it into the clown's mouth? I guess he did.
I guess he did.
Yeah.
I think he's Kim Jong-il. The clown moves to catch it, you know.
Good thing he wasn't in the Broncos camp with
That's
me. He would have kicked my ass.
That's true. Well, I'm sure he could do that.
He did. Oh.
Or slapped it. That seems to be going on a lot in the Broncos camp. I'm just saying. All right. This is very exciting. As a sports writer, you'll appreciate the drama here. It comes down to this. Get this one right, you win the big prize. All right, Kim Jong-il does not like to fly. He's afraid of it. So on one of his very few trips out of the country, he took a special train across Russia to visit Moscow. It was a long trip, so he arranged what for his comfort along the way? A, he had a replica of his palace built every 700 miles so he could spend the night in his own bedroom. B, he had two fresh live lobsters flown to wherever the train was every evening for his dinner. Or C, he commissioned the world's only heated swimming pool train car. Sloshing was a problem.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'd like all of those things. Can we arrange those for my next
trip?
Great.
Those would be great. Wait a minute. Doesn't your NPR contract get you those? Because I get the lobsters in the pool. I don't know.
It's part of the NFL pension agreement, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go with the, I think since I failed on the chef question, we're going to go with food again, lobsters.
Lobsters. Lobsters is your choice? I'm just asking you to confirm it.
In a neutral tone of voice.
Yes.
Is that the tone of voice that...
Totally neutral. Totally neutral. No.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I don't
just
know.
Making it more exciting.
I'd tell you if I could.
You know what? since the scratch golfing was so preposterous, the most preposterous is building a house for him every 700 miles. Let's go with that.
You sure?
No.
All right, make your final choice.
We'll go with A.
You're going to go with A? No, it was the lobsters.
No!
Oh, no. Oh. I didn't mean to talk you out of it. I was just trying to increase the tension.
You've been cut from the team.
Back with you to double it. No, I'm sorry. Yes, it was in fact the lobsters. He ate them every evening with silver chopsticks. Mm. So, Carl, how did Stefan Fatsis do in this particular athletic endeavor?
I'd say he was a better kicker.
Yeah.
Which is not saying much, Carl. Yeah.
He needed two correct answers, Peter, but Stefan had just one correct answer to win for David Andrews.
I'm sorry, David.
Stefan Fatsis is a regular commentator in NPR's All Things Considered. He's also the author of a number of books, including Word Freak and the just-published A Few Seconds of Panic about his actual career as an NFL kicker. Stefan Fatsis, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you, Peter. Great. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Stefan.